in memory of Tuvia ben Yehuda HaKohen, Rivka bat Shalom, their children and grandchildren, all killed on one day. Yud Aleph Tammuz. You know what year it was? Okay, Hashem Yinkom Damam. All right. Time is beginning to run out on us in terms of the class. We have another 2 weeks after this, and there's a great deal to say about Chizkiyahu. Great deal to say about Chizkiyahu. So I don't know how I'm going to do it. That's why all the Sforum over here is because there is so much to say about Chizkiyahu. Somehow or other, I'll have to find a way to get it done. All right. I had a mincha yesterday in the Knesset, in the Beit Knesset, in the Knesset. Of course, really, the whole purpose is to tell you that I was at a meeting in the Knesset, so that you should be duly impressed. With a number of Chavri Knesset and Sarim, etc. But I davened in the Beit Knesset of the Knesset. That's the first place where I've seen what is clearly going to be the sign of the future. There were six or seven signs with a picture of a telephone. Na lechabot et ha-telephone lifnei tchilat ha-tfilah. Extinguish, put off all telephones before the beginning of davening. All over the world, because you can imagine, 30 Chavrei Knesset, I imagine there must be 30 Chavrei Knesset who daven mincha, coming in, all of them with their telephones. I understand, the whole place will go crazy, you won't be able to daven. So I was talking to you, and the truth is, I just wanted to show you that until my son comes back tomorrow, I have a telephone for a day. He's been away for 2.5-3 weeks, I don't think I use it more than 5 times. All right. Chizkiyahu. You said we were up to Pasuk 26. It's Sancheriv, king of Ashur, right? We're already with Sancheriv. Sancheriv, king of Ashur, has sent a message to Chizkiyahu. And, let's... He tells him the following. Chizkiyahu has rebelled against Sancheriv, king of Ashur. He had been sending tribute to Sancheriv, king of Ashur, and then he stopped. An act of rebellion. Sancheriv, king of Ashur, sends a message. He sends a number of people. One of them is Rav Shokei, and he is the one who speaks. Rav Shokei is the one who speaks on behalf of Sancheriv, king of Assyria. And what he says is, by what right did you, why did you rebel against me? Who are you depending on? Are you placing your trust in Egypt? And of course there is that great description of Egypt, which appears also in Yeshayahu, Mishenet HaKaneh HaRatzutz HaZeh, a Mishenet, something to lean on, a crutch. But what kind of a crutch? A crutch that's made out of a broken reed. All you do is, if you lean on the crutch, it's going to come through, cut through your head. So who are you placing your trust in? You're placing your trust in the God of Israel? He's the one whom Chizkiyahu has destroyed all of the altars unto him. And then furthermore, you don't have any military might or power left. I'll give you 2,000 horses. You won't be able to put 2,000 riders on it. So why is it that you have rebelled? And then his final point was in Pasuk 25, chapter 18, Pasuk 25. And this, of course, is something that is going to receive a great deal of prominence in the words of Yeshayahu. Ata now ha-mibaladei Hashem aliti ala makom hazeh la-shchito. Sancheriv sees himself as the agent of God. They had heard the prophecies that Sancheriv was going to destroy many nations. So he says, now, Hashem, if not for God, would I have come up to this place to destroy it? Hashem amar elai, God said to me, Alei al haaretz hazot v'hashrita, go up against this land and destroy it. By the way, the message that is brought to Chizkiyahu is a very carefully worded message. First of all, he says, You have nobody outside of you to depend on. Who are you going to depend on? You're going to depend on Mitzrayim? Can't depend on Mitzrayim. Who are you going to depend on? God? All the high places that were removed are the high places of God. Who are you going to depend on? Your own strength? What are you talking about? You don't have any left. And furthermore, I am here by the command of God. What you have to know about Sancheriv is the kings of Asher before him, and Sancheriv completed the job of sending the 10 tribes off into exile. We're talking about 80% of Klal Yisrael that had been taken off into the Horei Choshech, the mountains, who knows where they are. We're talking about not part of the land having been conquered by Sancheriv, king of Ashur. The whole land, save for one city. There's only one city that has not yet fallen before the onslaught of the king of Ashur. And that one city is Yerushalayim. At some point we're going to read the description that Yeshayahu tells us how Sancheriv, he makes it in his final day of marching, he makes his way to Neve Yaakov. It wasn't called Neve Yaakov then. Od Hayom Benov Lamod, it's called Nov. And he's standing on the heights of Neve Yaakov and he looks down at Yerushalayim. And this is the Yerushalayim that he had heard about, the impregnable great fortress, the stronghold of the spirit. And he takes a look at it and it's a, to him, it's a puny little town. Go compare it to, I don't know, I imagine the great cities of the day, Nineveh, Cairo, who knows what, Nov, Tachpanches, so on. It's all right, I could tell you any names, you wouldn't know the difference. But they were all true. Every one of the names is a real name in Tanakh. They were great cities, they were great cities. Yerushalayim was a little village compared to them. And he therefore, sort of, Yeshayahu describes him as simply waving his hand like, we will wait for tomorrow, and tomorrow we're going to crush the city. Of course, we're going to learn that instead of crushing the city, the angel of death swoops down that night upon the camp of Sancheriv and destroys him utterly. But we'll get to that. Meanwhile, the first message from Sancheriv, Vayomer Eliyakim ben Chilkiyahu, v'shevna v'yoach el Rav Shokei. Now this fellow Shevna is going to be terribly, terribly important. There are going to be all sorts of opinions about Shevna. There's going to be there is even going to be a prophecy about Shevna. The only question is going to be, is this the same Shevna? I'll tell you about Shevna. The Gemara says, in Masechta the Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, that within the city, and this is, of course, I'm afraid to say, quite typical for Jews when there is a threat from without, so there's more than one opinion within. And the two opinions were Chizkiyahu v'siyato, Chizkiyahu and those who were with him, and Shevna and those who were with him. And Shevna and his group decided that they're going to surrender the city to Sancheriv. And Chizkiyahu says, I wanted to say over my dead body, but I don't think Chizkiyahu said that. Chizkiyahu said, absolutely not. We're going to continue to fight for the city. And it seems that Shevna sends a message by, shoots an arrow outside the city carrying a message that in the city, Shevna and his group have agreed to surrender the city to the great king of Assyria. There's a terrible, terrible prophecy about Shevna. Yeshayahu speaks about Shevna and says that, you're going to suffer for this. In other words, the ones who are ready to give up Yerushalayim or part of Yerushalayim are the ones who are going to suffer terribly. But we'll get back. There is a difference of opinion in the Mefarshim where this is the same Shevna or there were two Shevnas. There's even an opinion that says that this fellow's name was Shachna, not Shevna. All right, whatever it is, there are going to be crucial moments at which there will be a terrible division within the city. But what I wanted more than anything else was to point out the fact that if ever there was a time that the Jewish people found themselves in extreme dire straits, it is the time of Chizkiyahu. A whole country has been conquered. Just one last outpost, Yerushalayim, remains to be plucked by the conqueror. That's going to be important. That's going to be terribly important. Anyway, Pasuk 26, Vayomer al Yochim ben Chilkiyo v'shevna v'yorach el Rav Shokei. They said to Rav Shokei. The Gemara, of course, tells us another part of the tragedy of this whole story. Rav Shokei was a Jew who had gone over to the enemy. I don't even know if I can call him Benedict Arnold. I think because there was a recent article in the papers that Benedict Arnold was a great patriot. Yeah, I think the Jerusalem Post a few weeks ago. So I don't even know who's a traitor anymore. Quisling. All right. Rav Shokei was a Jew who had joined the forces of the enemy. So we have Rav Shokei, and then unbeknownst to us all, we also have Shevna over there who's ready to give the city over to the enemy. Anyway, El Yochim ben Chilkiyo and Shevna and Yoach said to Rav Shokei, "Daber na avadecha Aramit, speak to your servants Aramaic, ki shomim anachnu, because we understand the language. Va'al tedaber imanu Yehudit, don't speak Hebrew." Ba'aznei ha'am, in the ears of the people, asher al-akom, who are on the wall. He's calling to him from outside the wall. They don't want everybody to hear what's happening. This is supposed to be of course, this is classic. Over here, there isn't even a hadlafa. It's not the fact that there's a leak. The whole thing is leaking. He wants to speak. He does want to speak to the people who are on the wall. This is not a message just to Chizkiyahu. This is a message to all the defenders of Yerushalayim. Vayomer aleim Rav Shokei. So Rav Shokei says to them, "Ha'al adonecho v'eilecho shelochani adoni? Do you think it's to your master and to you I have been sent? My master sent me l'daberet ha'dvorim ha'el to say these words. Hello, al ha'anoshim ha'yoshim al ha'choma. I'm talking to the people who are standing on the walls, on the ramparts of Yerushalayim." And here comes one of those terrible psukim, difficult psukim. Le'echol et so'atan v'lishtot et meimei ragleihem imachem. Because ultimately they are the ones who are going to have to drink their excretion, eat their excretions, and drink their urine. Of course, here is another one of those examples in Tanakh where the word is written one way, and it is verbalized in a different way. The way in which it's verbalized is less ugly than the way in which it is written. By the way, the way in which it is written, certainly the first words, korahem, is an Arabic word for excretions, even today, avayom azeh. Don't ask me to go much further than that. But what we're saying is, the Navi has to quote Rav Shokei in all of his ugliness, but we don't have to say it. Now, the fact is, this is what Rav Shokei, you can only expect something of this sort from a Yisrael Muma, a Jew who has gone to the enemy. Maharaj, the famous pasuk in Yeshayahu that nobody really knows nobody ever knows the real pshat anymore, because we all know the way in which it's used. Mahar sayich umachrevayich mimech yetzeyu. Those who are your destroyers and your exterminators, mimech yetzeyu, are going to come from you. That's how the world learns it. That some of our worst enemies come from within. By the way, that's not what Yeshayahu meant. When Yeshayahu said it, he meant mahar sayich umachrevayich, those who destroy you, let them go out of you. Go! Leave our communities. In Yiddish, they would say, Geitzit, Brech, Henten, Fies, but I don't want to say that, you know. You should have a refuah shleima. Good. Mimech Yetzeyu, go! Vayamud Rav Shokei stood there, Vayikro, the Kol Gadol Yehudit, and he called out in a loud voice in Hebrew, Vayadaber, Vayomer, he spoke and he said, Shimu Devar HaMelech HaGadol Melech Ashur, listen to the words of the great king, the king of Ashur. Ko Omar HaMelech, so says the king, Al Yashilachem Chizkiyahu, let not Chizkiyahu talk you into it or seduce you. By the way, he continues as he has been doing up until now. He never refers to Chizkiyahu by any title whatsoever. He's not Melech, he certainly is not nothing. The Melech and Melech HaGadol is Sancheriv, king of Asher. Don't let Chizkiyahu talk you into anything. Because he can't save you from his hand. Chizkiyahu cannot save you from the hands of the king of Ashur. Vayavtach etchem Chizkiyahu Hashem leimor, let not Chizkiyahu tell you to trust in God, saying, Hatzel yatzileinu Hashem, God is going to save us. Velo tinatein et ha'ir hazot b'yad melech Ashur, and this city is not going to be given into the hands of the king of Ashur. Al tishmu el Chizkiyahu, don't listen to Chizkiyahu. Ki ko oma melech Ashur. By the way, he even uses the festive terminology of prophecy, so saith the king of Ashur, as though he's saying, Lahavdul, ko omar Hashem, so says God. Ko omar melech Ashur, so says the king of Ashur. Asu iti bracha utsu'u elai, make with me blessings. The word bracha really means, bracha means peace. Make a peace treaty with me. Make a treaty with me. Utsu'u elai, come out unto me. V'ichlu ish gafno, v'ish teinato. He promises them that each person is going to be able to eat from the fruit of his vine and from his fig tree. Ushtu ish mei boro, and everybody will be able to drink the water from his well. Ad bo'i, until I will come. V'lakachti etchem el eretz ka'artzechem, and I will take you to a land like your land. By how many of you does this pasuk all of a sudden strike a chord? Who? No. 4 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago. It was in the parsha shiur. 4 weeks ago, I learned with you the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph. Why did Ezra refer to Sanhedev as Asnapor Rabo V'Yakiro? Why did Ezra refer to this Rosha Sanhedev as the great and mighty leader? Instead, you know, a few hundred years later, Ezra talking about Sanhedev. He should have said after Sanhedev's name, Yimach Shemoi V'Zichroi, Shem Rishoi Mirkav. What does he do? He refers to Sanhedev in very, very glowing terms. So the Gemara said, I see, I didn't learn it with most of you. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, why did Ezra refer to Sanhedev as a great and mighty leader? Mishum Shelo Diber Bignuta Shel Eretz Yisrael, because he did not speak ill of Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara brings this pasuk. The Gemara says, because Sanhedev told them, I'm going to come and take you to a land like your land. He doesn't say to them, I'm going to take you to a far, far better place than you have ever been. He doesn't tell Claudius, I'm taking you to a better land. Ad bo evil or kachti et kam, I'm going to take you to a land like your land. The shocking and disturbing part of the Gemara is that the Gemara at the end says, Avol Yisrael dibru b'gnuta shel Eretz Yisrael, but Yisrael, Jews, did speak ill of Eretz Yisrael. When they came to a place, Shosh, I know this Gemara like the back of my hand. When they came to a place, Shosh, they said, my, this is just like Eretz Yisrael. When they came to a place, Almin, they said, my, oh my, this is just like Almin. And when they came to a place, Trei Shosh, they said, my, this is twice as good as Eretz Yisrael. And I read the Rashi over there. When they came to a place, Almin, they said, this is just like Almin, says Rashi. This is just like Yerushalayim, that is called Beit Olamim, the eternal home of God. Jews came out to Chutz Laretz and they found places that were just like Yerushalayim. And the Gemara says that to call any place, this is the way I understand the Rashi and the Gemara, to call any place in the world Yerushalayim or like Yerushalayim is to speak ill of Eretz Yisrael. And this Rosha Sanhedev, who destroyed 90% of Eretz Yisrael, is called a complimentary name simply because he did not speak ill of Eretz Yisrael. And he said, Ad bo'i, until I come, v'lokachti etchem el eretz, I'm going to take you el eretz ka'artzechem. So that was the shir in which I said, "What I see, you want to say something, you can't control yourself, say it. That you are, is this pasuk, the Gemara brings this, Bella, take care of her. Right. Yeah. Well, I said it in the shir. So the Gemara says that Sanhedrin, the Rosh, did not speak ill of Eretz Yisrael, but Jews did. Jews did. Whenever Jews have this feeling that my wherever they're living is as good as Eretz Yisrael, or for that matter, it's even better, because we have better educational institutions, we have more beautiful mikvahs, and we have everything that you want. Chesed committees, there are five daf yomis that you can choose from every morning. I mean, it's great, it's terrific. So this is the pasuk that the Gemara brings. Eretz Dagon v'Tirosh. See, he's even describing it like Eretz Yisrael, but he's going to stop short. Stop short. Sarah mentioned Dasan Taviran. He's going to stop short of calling the land that he's going to take them to Eretz Zavat Cholav Utvash. That he will not do. Dasan Taviran did that, but he will not do this. Eretz Dagon v'Tirosh, a land of grain and oil. Eretz Lechem Ukrom, bread and vineyards. Eretz Zeis Yitzha. Tirosh, I'm sorry, is wine. Eretz Zeit Yitzhar, oil, dvash, and honey. Vichyu, you will live, v'lo tamutu, and you will die. V'al tishmol chizkiyo, don't listen to chizkiyo. Ki yasit etchem leimar. Hasata. I think that this is a word that no Israeli needs translation. Yasit is the word hasata. That Chizkiyahu is going to incite you to say Hashem Yatzilenu, God is going to save us. Have the gods of other nations each one saved their land? Miyat Melech Asher, from the hands of the king of Asher? No other god has saved their land. So what's the god of Israel any better? Aye, where's the god of Elohei Chamat, the god of Chamat, Va'arpad, Aye Elohei Sfarvayim, Hena, Ve'iva, these are all names of places. Where are those gods, mighty in wisdom? Thou, Sancherev, has waxed stronger than them. Ki Hitzilu et Shomron Yadi. Have they been able to save Shomron from my hand? Shomron was, of course, the Malchus Yisrael, all of them. Mi Bechol Elohei Ha'aratzo Sashet Hitzilu et Arzo Miyadi. Who from all of the gods? By the way, if this wouldn't all be kfira, it's a very beautiful speech. he's done an exceptional job, and we're going to see right away that they tear kriya, they rend their garments because they are hearing blasphemy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is being compared to the god of Hamat and Arpad and Sfarvayim and Hena and Iva. God is going to save Yerushalayim from my hand. The people all remained silent. They didn't answer at all. Because there was a command of the king, don't answer him. Don't say. Chizkiyo said, hear what he has to say. Nobody is, this is not Papalitica. Not going to get into any fights over everybody yelling and screaming at each other. Let him say whatever he has to say, and that's it. Yochim ben Chilkiyo, who was in charge of the house of the king, and Shevna Hasofa, and Yoav ben Asaf, and Mazgi el Chizkiyo, they came krui begadim, with their garments torn. Vayagidulo, and they said to him, Divrei Rav Shokei, the words of Rav Shokei. Vayehi kishmoa hamelech Chizkiyo. From here we learn the halacha that when one hears words of blasphemy against God, there's a chiyuv to tear, an obligation to tear your garments. As a sign of mourning, a terrible, terrible thing has been said. A really blaspheming and cursing God. But they have a responsibility to tell it over to the king precisely as they had heard it, which is what they do, so therefore the king tears his garments. By Yitkaz Basak, and he covered himself with sackcloth. By Yavok Beit Hashem, he came to the house of God. He sent El Yochum, who was in charge of his house, and Shevna Sofa, and the elders of the Kohanim, all covered in sackcloth, and Yeshayahu Hanavi ben Amoz, to Yeshayahu, the prophet, the son of Amoz. First time that he appears in Tanakh. First time that he appears. They sent them to Yeshayahu. The Dat Mikra over here explains that there's something strange about the structure. Shouldn't it have said Yeshayahu ben Amoz ha Navi? That's how he's usually referred to. Why is he called here Yeshayahu Hanavi ben Amoz? So the Mefarshim say that the main task of a Navi is to pray for the people. And that's what we need him for now. By the way, when Avimelech takes Sarah forcibly to his house, and God brings all sorts of plagues upon the house of Avimelech, and ultimately Avimelech returns Sarah to Avram, God says to Avimelech, let Avram pray for you, ki Navi hu, because he is a Navi. The word Navi really comes from the word Niv Svatayim, the words of one's lips. He has a power, his words have tremendous power. So what they want to point out over here is, we need prayer now. He sends them to Yeshayahu HaNavi. And they said to him, Koam HaChizkiyo, so is Chizkiyo. He said, why don't you jump? I've trained you well. Why don't they refer to him as HaMelech? If Rav Shake didn't refer to him as Amalek, we understand that Rav Shake was doing it because of the fact that he wanted to denigrate Chizkiyahu. But these are Chizkiyahu's people speaking to Yeshayahu. It's very simple. Because when Klal Yisrael is faced with which might possibly be ultimate destruction, we're talking about the last group of Jews living in Eretz Israel happened to be in Yerushalayim. And for all we know, the city may fall very soon. We're talking about the end of the game. On a day of such suffering, Chizkiyahu does not want to be referred to by his own people as king. He stands as a simple Jew in all of his profound humility before God. In the presence of God at a time of such tzara, nobody has any titles. All Jews are equal. This is a day of terrible trouble and admonition. Give me a good English word for una'otza. Rejection? Huh? Somebody say... Rebuke. That's tochacha. What about na'otza? Say that again. Contumely? Na'otza. We'll stick with na'otza. Na'otza represents, the way I see it in Yeshayahu, the word. At the beginning of Yeshayahu, we're going to have it. Shabbos Chazan. They have rejected. If I would be translating it, blasphemy. All right, so I'm telling you, I would translate it, it's a day of rejection. God has been rejected, the Jewish people are rejected. Kibo bonim ad mashber v'koach ayin laleida. So first of all, number one, the famous word that you see every day in the paper over here, the word mashber. Everything is a mashber. So first of all, you see already where the word mashber, the description that they use is a woman who is about to give birth but cannot. Just the child isn't coming. And so we're talking about terrible pain. That's the crisis. Kibo bonim, the children have come at Mashber to the moment of crisis. The koach ayin laleida, there is no strength to give birth. There's no way to get out of this. Ula yishma Hashem Elokecha et kol divrei Rav Shakeh. Maybe God, your God, Yeshayahu, will hear the words of Rav Shakeh asher shalacho melech asher adonav, that the king of Asher, his master, has sent him lecharef Elokim Chai, to blaspheme a living God. By the way, will not repay the king of Asher in kind. And then, just because Rav Shakeh refused to call Chizkiyahu king,
does not mean that the king of Ashur is not going to be given his due. We don't do what they do. We don't learn conduct from them. In other words, if any of you may have had the thought cross their mind, and I can see somebody who I think might have thought of doing this, to take a Palestinian flag and burn it in the streets of Yerushalayim, we don't do that. If they want to burn an Israeli flag and trample it underfoot because they want to show a complete rejection of anything that is symbolically so important to us, we don't act the same way. They can come, Rav Shakey can stand there and talk about Chizkiyo. Maybe he, you know what he's saying? Chizzy? Chizki? You know? Kingy Wingy? Eich Mea King? But they will not refer that way to the King of Ashur. King of Ashur is King of Ashur. And I think this is a point that I had made this point. I have a brother in Petach Tikva who told me this vort in the name of Rav Pam, a Shiva of Tarvadas. And by the way, we're going to talk about another extremely important idea that expressed by Rav Pam. It says in Parashat Va'eda, finally at one point in the middle of the Makos, Paro decides, all right, look, you want to serve your God? So he says, L'chu zidchu le'elokechem baretz. Go bring sacrifices to your God in the land. Right here in Mitzrayim. Why do I have to go 3 days journey out into the desert? We officially grant you permission to serve your God right here in Mitzrayim. Listen to how Moshe responds. Vayomer Moshe. Moshe said, Lo nachon la'asos kein. It's not right to do that. Ki tovat Mitzrayim nizbach la'ashem l'keinu. The abomination of Egypt, what he means is that which is worshipped by Egypt, we're going to sacrifice to God our God. We will sacrifice the deity of Egypt before their very eyes. They won't stone us to death. Isn't this strange? Moshe Rabbeinu is saying two things. He says, you know, it's not right to do that. Second, he says, they're going to kill us, you know. The Egyptians are going to stone us to death for sacrificing their deity. Two questions. Number one, he should have said the second reason first. They're going to kill us. By the way, if you have already the second reason, that it's pikuach nefesh, we can't do it here in Mitzrayim, we can't sacrifice the deity of Mitzrayim in Egypt, what does he have to say? Lo nachon las, it's not nice to do that. Something that's going to place all of Israel in great physical danger. It's not right. Said Rav Pam that Moshe is saying two things to Paro. You know what he's saying to Paro? A deity is an extremely important symbol to you. We may reject it in its entirety. Lo nachon la'asot kein. But it's not right that in your presence we should go ahead and it's not menschlichkeit. You just don't do something of that sort. I don't take your symbol and trample it. I'm not going to do that. Second of all, even if we would want to do something like that, even if that would not be something that made a difference to us, they're going to kill us if we're going to start sacrificing the deity of Mitzrayim. But Rav Pam says that in this pasuk, what Moshe Rabbeinu is expressing is something that's basic to how Jews think about things. You don't just do something in order to get somebody else angry. You don't take somebody's symbol. You couldn't care less about it. It makes absolutely no difference to you. But it does make a difference to somebody else. Then you have to have a little derech eretz for it. Not a derech eretz for the symbol, but a derech eretz for the human being whose feelings you are profoundly hurting. I mean, this can be used on a lot of levels. You don't have to come and be mechalel Shabbos in a religious neighborhood.
What do you mean, Bechal Shabbos? Go do it elsewhere. A little bit sense of how we feel. How we feel. Now, I don't think that there's, of course, any comparison between some 14-year-old stupid kid in Meir Sharim who burned the flag and the head of the Palestinian parliament, you understand, who stands there and watches the flag being burned and then goes over and tramples it. As far as we're concerned, lo nuchal la'asot, okay, we can't do that. You don't take a symbol that is of such importance to somebody else and just trample it. I just hope that what I'm saying is going to... Oh, yeah. I'm saying this in order to explain why they refer to him as Melech Ashur. He didn't refer to Chizkiyahu as king, but they referred to him as Melech Ashur. Yes. Oh, it's going. I got that all down on tape. Huh? No, it's on. Well, you want me to put that? Similar idea. It's a Yom Evel for all of Klal Yisrael. It's Yom Tochacha Una'atzah. It's Yom Tzara. And in Yom Tzolah, when we all stand before God in prayer, there's no difference between king and commoner. Chizkiyahu before God is Chizkiyahu. Yeah, but in other words, what we have to do is we have to let the Pasuk tell us what's happening. Now, you can keep asking on the Pasuk from today till tomorrow, but if the Pasuk refers to him as Chizkiyahu, then we have to understand why it's so. And I was so why is it so? Because this is a terrible, terrible day. Just like what you were referring to really was. Vayikrevu Yemei David Lamut is what you were looking for. I know you're looking for it. Well, you think I'm your Rebbe for nothing? But it's in the second chapter of Malachim. What you have to look so much for? No, that's not where it says it. It says, Vayikrevu Yemei David Lamut. Why is he not referred to at the days of David to die came close? That's where it says it. By the way, when he's sitting shiva for his for the baby, he's called Melech. But there the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Kohelet, Ein Shilton B'yom Hamavet. On the day of death, nobody is a ruler. Kings become ice kings. The great equalizer of all is the day of death. He's not called Melech. When he's sitting shiva for the baby, he's still king. But the day that he's going to die, his own death, Vayikrevu Yemei David Lamut, it doesn't say Vayikrevu Yemei HaMelech David Lamut. And if you can't find it there, you can always take a look at the Haftarah for Parashat Vayechi. All right. You all had different names. The same pater. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, let's go. Enough. Enough. Got enough heavy ideas here. Ula yishma Hashem elokecha et kol divrei rav shakeh asher shalachom melech asher adonav lecharet lehim chai v'hochiyar badvarim. Let him show. Let him demonstrate asher shama Hashem elokecha that God, your God, has heard it. V'nosata tfilo, you should raise a tfilo ba'ad hasheidit hanimtzav for the remnant that remains. By the way, in the words hasheidit hanimtzav, you see already the entire description I've given to you of what Eretz Yisrael looks like. It's going to be terribly important to understand that this was most probably one of the most tragic and difficult moments in all of Jewish history. Remember, there is really no Jewish community outside of Eretz Yisrael except those who've been taken off some years earlier out into the Gola. All that's left is that little Heifal Yidin, that little group of Yidolach that are in Eretz Yisrael, and all that's left of them is the group that's in Yerushalayim. Vayavohu Avdei HaMelech Chizkiyahu and Yishayahu, the servants of the king Chizkiyahu came to Yishayahu, Vayomer lehem Yishayahu. Yishayahu said, Kol tovnu la'adonaichem, this is what you should say to your master, Kol amar Hashem, so says the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Al tira mipnei hadvarim asher shamata. Don't be afraid of the words that you heard. Asher gidfu narei melech Ashur oti, that the little boys of the king of Ashur have blasphemed me and cursed me. It's words. Hinini noten boruach. I'm going to give into him a spirit, an idea. V'shama shmua, he's going to hear something. V'shavla arzo, he's going to return to his land. V'hikaltiv v'acheret v'arzo, and I'm going to bring him down by the sword in his land. Don't worry, take it easy. Let it roll off your back. Nothing to worry about. Yosef Rav Shakeh, Rav Shaki returned by Yimset Melech Ashur. In other words, meanwhile, you know, I say it time and time again about modern Jewish history, but it was true even in ancient Jewish history. The rule, but it's more truer. Is that good English? So what? It's not good, but you know what I mean. It's even more true with regard to modern Jewish history that the rule is always the unexpected. You never know what's going to happen. Don't try to figure anything out. Here comes the moment of the unexpected. The king of Ashur, who was ready and prepared to come and destroy Yerushalayim, all of a sudden he gets a message of somebody coming out to attack him, and he leaves his plans for the destruction of Yerushalayim are put back into the Megera. What's that? In the drawer. So he heard, King of Asher heard Nilchama al Livna while he was waging war against Livna. Shama kinasam ilachish. Rav Shaki comes back. The king of Asher had been in Lachish. Lachish is southern Yehuda. And when he comes back, he finds out that the king of Asher has left. The camp is no longer there. Vayishma, because he had heard about Tirhaka Melech Kush, Lamar, Tirhaka, the king of Kush, saying, that Tirhaka, the king of Kush, is on his way to wage war with the king of Asher. So, here there was all of this great talk. Rav Shaki had said, my master, the king of Asher, is coming to crush you. And all of a sudden, the plan for crushing Yerushalayim has to be shelved or tabled for a while. So he sends back a message, Ko Tomrun El Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda Lemar. Is this, can you imagine sort of the message being said in a little shamefaced way? All of the bravado, the great talk about taking Yerushalayim and crushing it. And I also have a feeling it's more than that. It's more than that. He's sending messages. He's not going himself. I don't know if Rav Shaki himself could have gotten up there and said, King Chizkiyo, but he is sending messengers. And sort of, maybe I read too much into it, but is Rav Shaki, this former Jew, thinking to himself, oh God, this is Min HaShamayim. here I was ready to destroy. He's ready to destroy Yerushalayim, and all the plans of Rav Shaki and the king of Asher all go down the tubes for the present. So, there's always that little pintaliyid over here. This Rav Shaki must be thinking, my, I have been bested by God himself. Anyway, he sends a message, do not be seduced by your God in whom you trust, saying, Lo ti natein Yerushalayim biyad melech Asher, that Yerushalayim is not going to be given into the hands of Asher. Hinei ato shamato, you've heard, et asher osu malchei Asher lechol haratzos lacharimam, what the kings of Asher have done to all of the lands to destroy them. Vato ti natzel, you're going to be saved. What are you talking about? Ha'itzilu otam elhei ha'goyim asher shichatu avotai. Hayom melech Hamat, where's the king of Hamat, the king of Arpad, the king of the city Sfarvoyim, Heina ve'iva. Are we in chapter 19 already?
Yeah.
How did I do that? I didn't know. Chizkiyo took the sforim. In other words, it seems this was sent by courier, by mail. He's not talking to him directly anymore. Vayikra'im, and he read them. Whenever I read the word Vayikra'im, I have this feeling as though he's ready to vayikra aim with an iron to tear them up. Vayal Beit Hashem, he went up to the house of God. Vayifriseu Chizkiyahu lifnei Hashem. Chizkiyahu places the message that has been received from Lachish before God. Vayitpalel Chizkiyahu lifnei Hashem, and Chizkiyahu prayed before God. Vayomer Hashem lekei Yisrael, Yeshurun God, the God of Israel, the one who sits between. His divine presence is between the cherubs that are upon the Aram. Atahu alakim levadecha, lechol mamlechot haaretz, you alone are king, are God, over all the kingdoms of the land. Atahu sitach hashamayim ledoretz, you made the heavens and the earth. Here is a pasuk that part of it we say in davening. Hatei Hashem oz nachoshma, God, incline your ear and listen.
Pikach Hashem einecha orei, God, open your eyes and see. Ushma divrei Sancherem, asher shalachol lecharef Elohim chai. Listen to the words of Sancherem. Here he doesn't call him King Sancherem, because before God, just as Chizkiyahu is not king before God, so is Sancherem not king. He is Sancherem, who was sent to blaspheme a living God. Omnam Hashem. It is true. Rebbeinu Shlomo, I have a feeling that sort of Chizkiyahu is saying, you've given Sancherev good reason to think that he is almighty. Those are two separate words. Right? You've given him reason because he has in fact conquered so many great nations. Omnam, it's true, Hashem, it's true. Hechadivu malchi Ashur et hagoyim et arzom. The kings of Ashur have destroyed nations and their lands. V'notnu et aleheyem be'esh. And they have given they've cast the gods, those foreign gods, into fire. Ki lo elehim heima, because they are not gods. Ki yimasi yedei adam. It's that which is made by man. Eitz ve'evan v'yabdum, made out of wood and out of stone, and they destroyed them. V'yata now Hashem elokeinu. God of a God, Hoshi'enu nam miyado, please save us from his hand. The Yevu kol mamlechot haaretz, all of the kingdoms of the earth shall know, ki ator Hashem elokim levadecho, you alone are God. Yishlach Yishayahu ben Amoz el Chizkiyahu leimor. Yishayahu ben Amoz sent a message to Chizkiyahu saying, Komer Hashem elokei Yisrael, asher hitpalalte elai, that which you prayed to me about Sancherev, king of Ashur, shamati, I have heard. Zeh hadavar asher diber Hashem elav. This is what God has said about Sancherev. Boz alecha, lag alecha, betulat bat Zion, acharecha rosh heiniah, bat Yerushalayim. Boz alecha, is referring to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, shames you, laughs at you, acharecha rosh heiniah, bat Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim sort of is shaking its head after you, garnished that you are, you're nothing. At me chayd after the gid after. Whom have you cursed and blasphemed? Thou me harim al takol. Against whom did you raise your voice? Vatisom arom einecha al kadosh Yisrael. You've lifted your eyes to the Holy One of Israel. Who are you? Biyad malachecha chayd after Hashem, through your messengers, you blasphemed God. Vatomer. And you said, Berov rigbi ani aliti. With all of my many chariots, I've gone up. Merom harim, to the very heights of the mountains. Which are the heights of the mountains? The heights of the mountains, that's Yerushalayim. Here, the king of Ashur has been acting with such great conceit. Merom harim, yaliti, merom harim, yar ketelev anon, the very end of the Lebanon. Yerushalayim, the Bet HaMikdash is referred to as Livanon. Where is Yerushalayim referred to at Halavanon? Rashi says it's a number of places in Chumash. In Beit Hanan? Exactly. Excellent. Ahor Azev v'Halavanon, says Rashi, is at Beit HaMikdash. Beit Hanan comes before Shir HaShirim. And in Shir HaShirim, you're absolutely right. Itim milavanon kala, itim milavanon teitzehi. With me, the Rebbeinu Shlomo leaves and goes off into exile with the Jewish people from Levanon. Obviously, referred to the Beit HaMikdash is referred to as Levanon because it was made from the cedars of Lebanon. The Echrot Tomat Arazav, God says, I'm going to cut down the height of his. Erez is a cedar tree. What kind of cedar? Mivchor Beroshav, the very chosen of his birch trees. V'avoam alone kitzo yar karmilo. Now the Navi, by the way, I just want you to know that as we learn these prakim, you're learning two prakim in Tanakh. You're getting two for the price of one. Because these prakim nearly word for word appear in Yeshayahu. So you've Mamish covered two chapters. It's all repeated in Yeshayahu. Yes.
There's a permanent part of the imprisoned, like a bird in a cage, and I have won the battle.
That must have been the day before. He wrote it the day before.
Yes. Well, it's his description of what happened.
That's very beautiful, because that fits in very well with the words of Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu describes Sancherev the day before the battle. He is certain
that Yerushalayim is his. He's certain.
Well, what do you say that we have to become footloose in Jerusalem? We have to become tourists? We've been saying it for the last 15 years. For 15 years we've been saying, take out, every so often, take out a day or two and become a tourist in Jerusalem. And leave your telephone at home. And turn it off. Alright. Yeah, what do you want, Sarah? I have... Go ahead. Lives of people in Tanakh, we're not told everything that they did, you know, got up in the morning... for breakfast, what he ate for breakfast. These descriptions are not given. I assume that Chizkio has been praying every day. There's a mitzvah of tefillah every day. Of course, tefillah becomes more intense as the crisis grows and looms larger. And more than that, not all of the tefillot of Chizkio are in fact told to us. But here, this tefillah, because of its beauty and because of its power, is told to us, but I assume Chizkio is a tzaddik. And Chizkio is prayed. I just said that very convincingly, and all of a sudden I'm having second thoughts. I'll just tell you one thing. I'll have to... I won't be able to do it this week. Maybe I'll only be able to begin. You know what Chizkio may have done as the... As the enemy draws closer, he learned more Torah. And he draws even closer. He has them in all the shuls of Yerushalayim. They're learning Torah 24 hours around the clock. How do you like that? As I did say that we're going to have to deal with a difficult Gemara. The Gemara says... Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach and Sanherif, king of Asher, the battle against Jerusalem should be the battle of Gog and Magog, and that would have ushered in the Messianic era. Ella, says the Gemara, why was Chizkiyahu not Mashiach? Because he didn't say Shira, he didn't sing. What do you mean he didn't sing? But what do you think? We say Hallel, you understand? And Chizkio didn't say Hallel. That's not what the Gemara means. So at least let me give you a brief outline of an approach that is taken by Rabbi Avigdor Amiel, who was Rav of Tel Aviv a long time, big, big Talmud Chacham, and I heard it first from my brother, Rav Yosef Yael Ol HaShalom, who was Rabbi of Worcester, Massachusetts. He told me about 30 years ago. And I'll just give you the broad outline. We have a guest from Worcester, who used to live in Worcester, Massachusetts. Oh, you really used to live in Worcester? Huh? Yes. Yeah, okay, you'll meet after class and you'll talk about Pleasant Avenue and all the sites around Worcester. Rav Amiel says the following. I'm just going to begin, because I won't be able to give you the full thrust of his idea. There was a great machloket between the Vilna Gaon and the Baal HaTanya. It was really the onslaught of the Vilna Gaon against the Baal Shem Tov. But it expressed itself through the Baal HaTanya, first Lubavitcher Rebbe. The great struggle between Chassidim and Misnagdim. What was the struggle between Chassidim and Misnagdim? What was the struggle? Misnagdim placed emphasis on the intellectual pursuit of Torah. Along came Chassidim, and they placed stress on the emotional pursuit of Yirat Shamayim and Avodat Hashem, the service of God. If the Vilna Gaon was mind and intellect, the Baal Shem and the Baal HaTanya were heart, emotions, feelings. Baal HaTanya was not opposed to Torah. Vilna Gaon was not opposed to emotion. There are some very emotional statements that are made by the Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon is the one who said he prayed all his life that he should be zeichet to come to Yerushalayim and plant a fruit-bearing tree around Yerushalayim. Now I tell you, anybody who hasn't planted a fruit-bearing tree around Yerushalayim had better go home and do it soon. I think he would have even accepted a potted fruit tree on a mirpeset. So that the Vilna Gaon also was a man of emotion, but he felt that Yahadut stands on intellect, on study of Torah, on mind, on creating a philosophy of Yahadut that overwhelms the human being. The machloket between the Baal Shem, or the Vilna Gaon and the Baal HaTanya, was a machloket that didn't start in their days. By the way, the struggle between the two was an awesome struggle. It was one that tore apart the very foundations of Jewish life in Europe. The Chassidim were looked upon as heretics and blasphemers. And by the way, I mean, I'm not going to use those kind of words, but that the Chassidim wrought a dramatic change in Yahadut as it was known. There's no doubt about it. You see, what's always fascinating is that yesterday's revolutionary becomes today's conservative. In other words, what is Chassidus based on today? What's one of the major tenets of Chassidus? Chodosh Osim Anatari, can't do anything new. My Zayda wore shtibul and a black this and a black hat. You can't deviate one iota. But they were the greatest deviators. They deviated much more than one iota. They changed the face of Judaism, you understand? But that's when, in their first generation, when they were the great revolutionaries. But what happens with the great revolutionary? He always becomes the establishment. That's what's always happening. And one of the classic and great examples of all is Chassidut. Do you understand they changed the Nusach HaTfilah? What would happen today if somebody would want to change one word in the davening? Chassidim would slaughter him. They changed the whole davening. They were the great revolutionaries. But the great revolutionary finally becomes the establishment, and when he comes to the establishment, he says, you can't deviate at all. Exactly the way my father and my grandfather, my great-grandfather, exactly the way they dressed, and exactly what, nothing is going to change. Go remind them that they made an absolute upheaval in Klal Yisrael, in halacha, in conduct. They won't believe you. They won't believe you. But these were the parameters of the struggle. The parameters of the struggle were intellect against emotion. Mind over heart or heart over mind. Rav Amiel traces this struggle throughout all of Jewish history. This struggle did not begin between Chassidim and Misnagdim. This struggle goes back in history. And he takes us back a few hundred years and he says, this was the struggle between Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi and the Rambam. Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, who wrote the Sefer HaKuzri, which is philosophic poetry or poetic philosophy, whichever way you want to put it, put that up against a Mori Nevuchim of the Rambam that was pure intellect. The Rambam's position was the position of the Vilna Gaon. In a sense, the position taken by Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi was the position of what would later be Chassidut. Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi was heart. Not that he was not mind. His is a great philosophic tract. The Kuzri is... We exposed you to Kuzri last week. But there was an emphasis that Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi placed upon emotion and heart, regesh. And this was absent by the Rambam. the machloket goes back to an earlier generation. The machloket goes back to a machloket between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, Lo ivri alma ela le David. The world was created only so that there should be a David. Shmuel disagrees with Rav and says, Lo ivri alma ela le Moshe. The world was created so that there should be a Moshe. What's the machloket that's going on over here between Rav and Shmuel? Is Rav opposed to Moshe? Of course not. Is Shmuel opposed to David? No. But Rav says the world was created for David. Shmuel says the world was created for Moshe. The difference between Moshe and David is Moshe is pure intellect. The highest degree that human intellect can ever achieve is that which was just achieved by Moshe. David is intellect plus a tremendous and awesome stress on emotion, on heart. David HaMelech is the author of Tehillim, and Moshe, in a sense, is the author of Torah. Machloket Rav and Shmuel expresses itself, in fact, in what Rav and Shmuel both were. Many of the prayers that we say were composed by Rav. We've been for Rosh Chodesh. You know how you end the tefillah for Rosh Chodesh? Beschus tefillat. In some sedurim it says Rabim. In other sedurim it says Rav. The tefillah of Rosh Chodesh Benjamin was written by Rav. The tefillah to praise God for every drop of rain that He gives us. When rain falls, we say it in Eretz. So we said it this past winter. After there had been 2-3 months with no rain, and then all of a sudden the rains came pouring down, there's a prayer I'll call Tipa V'Tipa. Who wrote it? Some of the most unusual and exceptional prayers that we have were written by Rav. What was Shmuel? Shmuel, pure intellect. Shmuel was an astronomer of cosmic proportions. Not a bad sentence, right? Okay? He was the one who was able to say, Nihidinli Shmili Didikia, I know the streets up in heaven as I know the streets of Neher Doi, where he lived. In other words, I know the heavens the way I know Harnof. Rav represented emotion, heart, never to the exclusion of mind. Rav is a great mind also. It's a question of emphasis. I just said it's a question of emphasis. That was the machloket between the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem. And you know what it really means? That everybody has to find their own place. There are those to whom intellect speaks more than emotion. And there are those to whom emotion speaks more than intellect. In other words, both options have to be available. Of course you need them both. One without the other is not enough. The question is, as I say, a question of emphasis. That was the machloket between Yeshayahu and Chizkiyahu. The machloket between Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu was, Chizkiyahu was the man of intellect, Yeshayahu was the man of regesh, of emotion. It was Chizkiyahu who made certain that there wasn't man, woman, or child in all of Eretz Yisrael that didn't know Torah. He was the one who quoted last week that the Gemara says that he put a sword into the Beis HaMedrash and he said, anybody who doesn't study Torah shall be run through by the sword. Chizkiyahu held that the greatest song of praise to God is the study of another blood Gemara. He saw that as song. But when the Gemara says, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach, but there was objection to it because he didn't say Shira. Of course he didn't say Shira. It's not because he's not singing the praises of God. He uses a different method by which to praise God. And maybe that's not enough. Maybe what was lacking in Chizkiyahu was the fact that, yes, there should have been... B'vakasha. Eshal accept me atzal hasheni. Yeah, B'vakasha. That was the difference between Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu. Chizkiyahu was the man of great intellect. Vilna Gaon, Rambam, Shmuel. That's what he was. And therefore he felt no greater song of praise to God. You know, Rabbein Shalom, praise you. I'm thankful for all of the blessings that you've given me. I'm going to sit down now and learn another Blatkama. But the Gemara condemns him for that. Because what was lacking was just that balance. There has to be the balance between one and the other. Going in any direction just a little too much may just not be healthy enough. And by the way, the fact is, the greatest thing that the Vilna Gaon ever did was the chedim that he placed on Hasidim. He excommunicated them. It was the violent opposition of the Vilna Gaon that kept Hasidim on the straight and narrow. If there wouldn't have been that opposition of the Vilna Gaon, there is no way to ever be able to predict what could have happened to Hasidus. It could have gone off the deep end. No guarantee. It was because there was somebody as powerful, as gigantic as the Vilna Gaon who stood up against Hasidus, that Hasidus had to prove itself. And you know how Hasidus proved itself? The Baal HaTanya went ahead and wrote a Shulchan Aruch. Why did he write a Shulchan Aruch? He wrote a Shulchan Aruch in order to prove that we too are going to abide by the Shulchan Aruch. Of course, the great meeting that never took place, the Baal HaTanya went to see the Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna Gaon refused to see him. And it may very well be that the Vilna Gaon's refusal to see him was also one of the great things that the Gaon did. There's always, in every new movement, there's always the danger that it may just go a little bit too far. And what you need is the counterbalance, the counterweight. Vilna Gaon was the counterweight to Hasidus. King first, the chicken or the egg. No, Mishnagdim came first. In other words, the fact is that for 2,000 years, Jews davened Ashkenaz. You understand? I mean, I davened Sfarad. But Jews started davening Sfarad only about 200, 250 years ago. It would have been like, you know, if you think about it, it's like conservative Siddur. That's what happened out there. Yeshayahu and Chizkiyahu, do you know what you learn in this parak? The two need each other. The two complement each other. The two, Yeshayahu and Chizkiyahu, represent the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem. Yeshayahu and Chizkiyahu represent Rav and Shmuel. They are the Rambam and Rabbi Yudah HaLevi. That's why he sends to Yeshayahu, even though Chizkiyahu here is going to say a tefillah that is unbelievable, he's going to be able to rise to the heights of Regesh. But he's not Yeshayahu. Here, this is the only place where we find so much of a relationship between king and prophet, Yeshayahu and Chizkiyahu. To be continued. They were catalysts to each other. That's a good way to use it, yes?
I just wonder if this, I mean, as you say, some people have a leaning towards emotion.
Leaning, right.
Have a leaning towards emotion. But the fact that Chizkiyahu is not Mashiach would mean to me that Mashiach has to be totally balanced.
That's a very good point. We will continue.